6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, this is a blessed church. I said to my wife this morning, we got to stop by here more often.
Amen.
Sweet spirit here. They're not all like that. The glory goes to the Lord, but, you know, we have a part. Keep it going. There's people that one day are going to say, boy, I wish I would have visited a place like this and listened to some of that preaching. I wish I would have read my Bible in a year. I wish I would have got saved. You know what? It's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Amos, the plowman prophet, says in chapter 8, verse 11 and 12, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. I believe that's the time of Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week. I believe that's the great tribulation, and I believe we're on the cusp of it. I really do. Everything's set up. I believe we're in for some amazing things in the near future. I don't know, but I just believe the writing's on the wall. So stay faithful. That's what God loves. That's what God asks. That's what God commands us to do, and He blesses that faithfulness. Amen? Well, listen, I'm real pleased and just blessed to be here to know all of you. We have everything in common, the family of God, and the world has everything uncommon. It's amazing. It really is. But we had a wonderful day here. Wonderful day. Just so blessed. But I feel like I'm gonna just add to this morning. Yesterday, this morning was a blessing by God for me and for my wife and I believe for everybody else. He's always on time. If we're open to Him, He's always on time. But I want you to think about the Great Commission. Listen, it's about souls and men and women. That's what Jesus Christ came for. But and it's the Great Commission. The souls of men and women hang in the balance between a devil's hell and heaven, and we carry the answer, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is till the end. But what's interesting, Jesus Christ's last words were to the church. What's the church? It's not this. It's a church building. God has blessed us with it to gather here. But the church is you and I. We who are born again, adopted in the family of God, have gone from His creation to His children. And now we can call Him our Father. We have a Savior, a Lord, a Master, so good and so great, Jesus Christ. But the last thing that He says, you don't have to go there, just a thought. Last thing that He says to the church in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, He says, repent. And then in verse 16, He says, repent or else. And really, this is where we're going tonight is about repentance. But repentance brings about something. It brings about something that I believe we need. I believe I see small pockets of it, and I'm happy with that if I'm part of it. Small pockets of revival, a stirring of our hearts. I'd love to see it on a big scale, you know, maybe one last big revival. But I'm going to be in Psalm chapter 51 here tonight. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 13. If you're saved, if you know the Lord here tonight, can I have an amen?
Amen.
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 Psalm 51, verses 1 to 13. And I will have a whole bunch of scripture verses here tonight. If you're not really like ultra fast, going to them, open your hearts and your minds, maybe write them down, but I will move here tonight. I have a bunch, and hopefully not too fast that you can't hear it, but as far as going there, listen, we'll be in Psalm 51, but we'll be going a bunch of places in the scripture. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 13, the Word of God says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Is he blaming his mother for his shortcomings, his going down, his problem? No, no, no. It's just a reminder that we come in with something passed on from generation to generation. We all come into this world from our mother's womb with a sin nature, a fallen nature. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. How about it, everybody? Do you want revival? Amen. We need revival.
Yes, sir.
But do you want revival?
Yes, sir.
Let's open up a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for Lord, this time again to gather, Father, your day, one set aside each week. And Heavenly Father, may we, Father, dear Lord, have this as a holy habit, coming whenever the church doors are open, for it is important. It's all about Jesus Christ. And God, we're thankful for that, that we've come to that saving knowledge of your saving grace. I pray for your hand to be upon this service. Place angels, Father, strategic places, Father, to keep the forces of darkness, which would, without your help, distract, try to make us complacent. But Father, you who are greater than anything and everything, I believe, Father, you'll protect this service. And I ask that you'd empty me yourself, Father. Fill me with thy spirit, all faith. And Heavenly Father, give me liberty here tonight. And Father, dear Lord, as your word says, without you, we can do nothing, no thing, nothing. So, Father, use it. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary as I, Father, stand at this sacred desk. And what a privilege, what an honor. Dear Lord, may I be a vessel in thy great and almighty hand. And may they, Father, hear thy voice. May they see thee, dear Heavenly Father. And may these words, Father, thy words, have grace upon them and be seasoned with salt. And dear Lord, may each and every one, Father, know, Father, because they're desirous to hear from you here tonight, what you, Father, have for them. And dear Lord, I ask for your blessings to be upon the speaking, teaching, preaching, upon the hearing, but most importantly, upon the applying of these, thy pure words here tonight. And Father, we will be careful to thank you for it. Help us to continue going, Father, to the end of the road down here, for there is a finish line. And may we be found faithful because of thee, O Lord, the enabler. Father, life's a choice. And I pray each and every one here with all their hearts and minds can say here tonight, I have decided to follow Jesus. Yes. Father, we pray this in the Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you'll agree that the church in America needs a God-anointed, heaven-sent revival.
Yes,
America, one nation under God, is guilty of murdering almost 4,000 innocent people every day. America calls it abortion. God calls it murder. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Luke 1:41, Mary, who has the baby Jesus in her womb, goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who is 6 months with child. And that young child is John the Baptist. And the Bible says in Luke 1:41, when Mary gives her salutation, her greeting to Elizabeth, the babe leaped in Elizabeth's womb. You see, it's not a lump. It is a life. It is not a fetus. It is a child. It is a babe. Proverbs 6:16-17. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Every 24 hours, Americans consume $300 million in alcohol. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's simple. If you never use it, you'll never abuse it. 38% of first marriages fail in America. The church, it isn't doing much better. 79% of failed first marriages marry again. 44% of those fail. Everything's about being disposable in today's world. All you have to do is take a look at Hollywood. It's probably best not to. But if it doesn't make you feel good, get rid of it and get something that will. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We all know 2015, what happened in the Supreme Court. You know the passing of the law. We had a president that invited into the Oval Office crusading homosexuals and lesbians and said to them, you have a friend and a champion in the White House, and we all know the door that is open. And there's people walking around, they do not know who they are and they do not know what they are. Leviticus 18:22 is still in the Bible. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Notice two of the big things in today I mentioned, they're an abomination. Sin. Sin put Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, on that cross, and he was torn to shreds. And that was physically. And then the spiritual and the emotional torment that he went through. Sin isn't a little thing to God. But an abomination, it is above a sin. An abomination nauseates God's stomach, makes him want to throw up. That's where we're at, everybody. It is serious. Public schools are jungles, guns, drugs, knives, no prayer, no Bible. Colleges beat out the New Testament but brought in the New Age. No resurrection but reincarnation is just fine. Prisons, 74% of people arrested, sent to prison, educated, and then let out are rearrested. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the Bible. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let me ask you, we're all at different stages in this Christian walk. If you are born again, if my people, that means you're saved, are called by my name. Do people, when you leave here, do people know you? Didn't know who you are in Christ, for Christ, because of Christ? Do they know that? Trying to make you think here tonight. We're all, like I said, at different stages. But do they know who you're trying to be like, who you're trying to follow? If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, seek my face. I know many people are telling God how to run his universe and run this country. And God wants to know our problems. He wants to know our burdens. But seek my face. Heard a man of God preach a little while ago, and I thought it was good, and I kind of latched onto it. He said his son called him up a little while ago, and he talked to him for a little bit, and finally he said, well, okay, he said, what do you want? What do you want? You know, to his son, the father. And his son said, I don't want anything, Dad, from you. I called you because I wanted to see if you were going to be around this weekend so I could be with you. Is that how we want to be with Christ? Seek my face. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God still has a people today. Genesis 18:14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Luke 1:37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Matthew 3:9. Hebrews 7:25. God is able. God is able to change mean men. He's able to restore marriages. He's able to rebuild your life so you can walk with God. Think about it. Psalm 23:3. Most people know it. He restoreth my soul, their salvation. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I heard good words here today. Read your Bible. Everything in this world that's created, made, has instructions. You buy a cake mix, has instructions on it, doesn't it? You buy a car. You can't figure things out. You open that glove compartment up. There's a manual in there, the instruction book. We're created. We're made. Here's the instruction booklet. This is it. He restoreth my soul, salvation. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. My rap sheet lets me know what I'm capable of doing, how much I really need him. Should I tell you why? Because I said in my prayer, he's the enabler, we're the decider. He will use us for his name's sake. Is our desire to make Jesus Christ look good? You see, the problem is not with God, it is with us. The question is not can he, but will we? What is revival? R-E-V-I-V-A. Again to live, it means to live again. There's a difference between revival and regeneration. When I was born again, regeneration, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. Washing of regeneration, that's the blood of Jesus Christ applied to my soul. I'm regened, regeneration. And then the renewing of the Holy Ghost, that comes from reading the Word of God. Changes you, cleanses you, builds you up as God would have you. You see, regene means a new beginning. Maybe you've never been saved, rescued, never been born again from above, from God spiritually. If not, you do not need revival. You cannot have revival. Here's the difference. Revival is like resuscitation. Salvation is like resurrection. A dead man does not need to be resuscitated. He needs to live before he can do anything. Ephesians 2:1, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Exciting thing is you can be saved here tonight. But I believe most people here tonight would say that they're born again. Well, do you need resuscitation to live again? Was there ever a time when you loved Jesus more than you do here tonight? You need a revival of the love of Jesus. Was there ever a time when you had higher standards than you do here tonight? You need a revival of standards here tonight. Was there ever a time when you were a better witness than you are here tonight? You need a revival of soul winning. Amen. Was there ever a time when you loved your Bible more than you do here tonight? You need a revival of the Word of God. Amen. Psalm 51 is a psalm of revival, everybody. Psalm 51 comes from a time when kings went out to war, but David, well, he stayed home. Instead of fighting sin, he began to flirt with sin. 2 Samuel 11 verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. It's too bad David didn't see four cemetery plots of his sons instead of a naked woman. Maybe he would have gone in and pillowed his head and said, God, please forgive me for what I have just done, for I'm not where I should have been or I should be, but please take this vision that I have in my mind right now. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. He calls for the woman. They say to David, that is a soldier of yours. It is his wife, Uriah. It made no difference. He took her. He laid with her. He committed adultery. He sent her home. She sends a message. I am with child. It is your baby. David has two opportunities, only two options. He can confess his sin and be clean, or he can complicate his sin. Confess his sin or cover his sin. Confess or complicate. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Amen. Who has ever in human history covered his sin from God? Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. David decides to bring Uriah in from the battle. He wines and dines him for two nights, but Uriah drunk is more righteous than David is sober. Instead of going home, David trying to make it look like it's Uriah's baby, he sleeps at the king's gate. David writes his death note, seals it with his signet, gives it to Uriah, who would never have broken that seal. He takes it to Joab and it's read. Set Uriah on the forefront of the hottest part of the battle and retire from him. Joab follows orders. Now Uriah is dead and David is guilty. Let me show you how David complicated his sin. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. David was covetous. To covet is I want. Covetous is to follow through with it. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. David stole another man's wife. The Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. David committed adultery. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. David lived the life of a liar. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. David becomes a murderer. It didn't become better. It got worse. He marries Bathsheba. Everything looks better, smoothed over in the kingdom, but not the king. 2 Samuel 11:27 says the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Please listen. If you make God mad, it does not make any difference who you make happy. It's worth repeating. If you make God mad, it does not make any difference who you make happy. Chapter 12, a prophet, not a puppet, Nathan. Nathan is not afraid of a king because he fears the king. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 to 7, he tells David a story, a parable, about two men. One is rich, wealthy, exceeding flocks and herds. The other man is poor, except he owns one little ewe lamb. And they loved that ewe lamb, him and his family. They raised that little ewe lamb. They fed it from their own table. They loved it as a child. They held that little ewe lamb on their lap and embraced it. A wayfaring, traveling man comes into town. And the rich man, rather than take from his plenty, took the poor man's one little ewe lamb. And David got angry. He said, surely this man shall die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he had no pity on the man. David didn't get it. Nathan simply points at him and he says, thou art the man. Nathan told publicly what God knew privately. Thank God, David, under terrible conviction, makes genuine confession and writes for us Psalm 51, which is a psalm of revival because of repentance. How do men and women fully get right with God? Well, number one, David got hungry for God. How do you know? Listen, Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God. Blot out my transgressions. Verse 2, wash me, cleanse me, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Verse 7, purge me, wash me. Verse 8, make me, hide my face from my sins. Blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Can you hear passion? Me, mine. He's going to God. He's hungry, desperate. He wanted God to meet with him. 17 petitions from the man out of God's own heart. David has been away from God for many months. Let me ask you, everybody, do you want a meeting or do you want a moving of God? The choice is yours, the choice is mine. Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's a story about a wealthy Arab sheikh going across a Middle Eastern desert, and they run out of water. They have a caravan. Not good to run out in a big desert of water. And the reason he's going across the desert, he's going to a place because there is a bride waiting for him that he's going to marry. And he has in the caravan, in a wagon, he has a present, two presents for her. And they are two beautiful hearts, which is a type of deer. Well, they're going to die. They don't have no water. So they've come to the conclusion of what they have to do. And he has a couple men go back and open the door to the wagon where the two hearts are in. And they slowly come down. And the story goes that they looked around and looked. They just stood there. And then all of a sudden, their necks went up in the air. And with distended nostrils, started searching in the air. And all of a sudden, they stopped. Both of them lowered their heads and they bolted. And two men on horses, two Arabs, follow them. And a little over an hour later, they follow the tracks. They come up upon them. And where are they at? Bent over, drinking at a brook. a life-giving source. Do you and I seek after God like those two hearts in that picture? A life-giving source. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, and my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Early means diligently. I don't know about you, but I've been diligent in a lot of wrong, bad things in my life, and even diligent about some good things, but it meant no difference or made no difference when it comes to Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 44 in verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Listen, how about it? When we're hungry, when we're thirsty, don't we usually go about doing something that we will obtain what we need? God says, why don't you come after my word, just like those two things that we can so easily relate to, everybody. Romans 3:11b says, there is none that seeketh after God. Say it ain't so here. Say it ain't so. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Do you want a meeting or a moving of God? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Don't you worry, don't you stress. Pray in everything, little things. Most people, they pray when the big things are there. And you know what, weren't those big things in their life because of the little things that they didn't take care of? Or got out of hand. Pray. Listen, you know how many people are living every place except right here, right now? The past is past. The future isn't here yet. If you're there, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing because you're right here and you have to be here to do something with it. Jesus says 5 times in Matthew 6, take no thought. Don't you worry. Listen, the evil tomorrow, it's going to take care of itself in your life. Believe me, the problems of tomorrow, they'll be there. Why are you there already? You have today to work with, everybody. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a man availeth much. Righteous man availeth much. Are you living for the Lord? Trying your best. It's all he asks. He asks for nothing that we don't have. I didn't have much, and I still don't think I have much. My wife would probably help me on that one. Listen, I don't, but all he wants is what we have. And little as much when God is in it. It's amazing. It is amazing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Does that mean walk around on your knees? No, it means live spiritually dependent upon Jesus Christ, upon God. Number one, David got hungry for God. Number two, David got honest with God. Look at verse 6. Behold, now thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Why did he say, God, you're looking for truth inwardly? Because for almost a year he had been living a lie. David committed adultery with Bathsheba. In the Old Testament, adultery meant both the man and the woman got stoned to death. David is King David. He is sitting on a throne wearing a crown, and people in the daytime are being brought to King David that have been caught in adultery, and he's sentencing them to die. He was bringing judgment on others, but he would not judge the sin in his own life. Can I ask you a question here tonight, everybody? Are you a transparent believer? Are you real? Are you genuine? Or are you counterfeit? I'm here to make you think. Examine yourself. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbors, for we are members one of another. Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing yet ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Matthew 15:8, with their mouth they draweth nigh, and with their lips they do honor me, but their hearts are far from me. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I do like, and I never forgot the illustration. He talked about hypocrites. You know what hypocrites are? They're someone who is acting other than what they really are. Actors in the Hollywood 100 years ago, they were called hypocrites. And listen, there's people that have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5. I have had more people this year tell me that they're going to hell this last year, especially at the end of the year. More people telling me that they know they're going to hell, but they don't want to do anything about it. I've had people tell me they are looking forward to going to hell. I exaggerate not. And I'm like, don't we know, especially some of us who are older, don't you wish for something? Don't you be careful what you wish for because you might get it. There's people that tell me, I believe you. I believe in the cross. I know I'm a sinner. I believe in heaven and hell. But you know what? No way, man. I'm having too good a time. There's things that I want to do yet. Those people are being forthright. And you know what? I believe when they die, if they die in their sins, they're going to go in the front gate to hell. And there is a gate to hell. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, hypocrites, when they die, they're going to come in the back gate. The back door to hell. And when they go through that back door, the people that are down there lying in their burning beds are going to get up and go, look who's down here with us. Look who's down here with us. The one who always mocked us and said he was holier than thou. The one who always used to carry his Bible, sing hymns when he was around us. Oh, quote scriptures. look who's down here with us now. Wow. I believe added misery. You see, you can live behind the mask of religion while you're here, but one day God's going to rip it off when you bust into eternity and you'll suffocate in hell forever. It's not a joke. The wrath of God is equal to the love of God. John the Baptist told him about the wrath. And they said, he's nuts. He has a devil. Jesus came and showed the love of God sitting with sinners and publicans. And they said, he's a drunkard. They didn't believe either, and both are real. I can't tell you all the pain. I'm sure Pastor Wilps can tell you of all the people that are fallen. And you know what it lets me know? If they're falling, I mean people that are much higher up than myself. I really know that I'm not much, nothing. But there's some people that my wife and I know that God has brought them along and lifted them up. And I'm telling you, they are out of the picture. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. See, God's in the uncovering business. 65% of all evangelical pastors right now are addicted to internet pornography. 70% of all supposed born-again believers are addicted to internet pornography. It's real easy to hide it, but you can't hide it from God. Amen. It's not a joke. I have some personal pastors and preachers that, man, they're out. They are out. And they knew better. And you know what? When they knew, they didn't repent. And God gave them over. And even though they're knocked out of the picture, there's no heart. It feels like a hunk of stone talking to you. See, God will give you what you want. That's the incredible thing about this God. But you'll pay for it one day. We can either have pleasure right now and sin for a season, or we can suffer for Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. I want to be there, and I need help. And I don't ever say never. I don't ever want to go back where God has delivered me from. I don't ever want to. Amen. But I know I am weak, feeble, and needy. I know how we are as humans. Listen, are you real? Some look good, so good, but live so bad. Do you tell the truth with your lips? Do you tell the truth with your life? I'm going to tell you right now, the street is no different than God's economy. It might sound a little crazy, but listen to me. I had a rep on the street. I had a rep. And I'm telling you, the street's radical. The street's brutal. And you got to uphold your rep. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the street very much. Maybe some of you are. Should I tell you why? God's no different. Talk the talk, walk the walk, and let your walk talk. 1 John 2:4, the apostle of love, John, he says, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You know what? God doesn't care what we say. He cares what we do, because what we do is a testament to who we really are. David lived a lie, and it cost him. I'm here to tell you, God is a God of truth, and if you'll be truthful with him. 1 John, the sister verse of 28:13 of Proverbs is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the liar became a leader till the end of his earthly life. You don't have to be what you are anymore. You can run, but you just cannot outrun God. David got hungry. David got honest. And number three, David got humble before God. Lester Roloff used to say, you can never get too small before God, but you can always get too big. Verse 17, Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Broken means to crush. If you've ever planted a garden, if you know those seeds that are so hard, when you plant that seed, if that hard shell doesn't break away, you will never have a product. Never, never. God uses broken things. John chapter 6, the feeding of the 5,000, that was probably more like 20,000. That was 5,000 men, right. Wives and children. They were hungry, 3 days out in the desert. Do you know what? There was a little lad there that had 2 small fishes and 5 loaves. And those fish, probably the size of a sardine, those loaves of barley loaves were probably the size of an index finger. Insignificant by itself among so many people. But once it was put into the hand of Jesus Christ, he started breaking. Breaking, and it met the needs of everybody, that everybody was filled and satisfied, and there was stuff left over. The lady in Mark chapter 14 with an alabaster box, valuable, precious ointment. She went to Simon the leper's house. Now she walked in, this little lady. Nobody knew, nobody noticed her. Simon the leper was sitting at the table. Jesus Christ was sitting at the table. The 12 apostles were sitting there. Nobody paid her any attention, but she came to anoint Jesus before his burial. And when nobody noticed her, but when she broke that alabaster box, broke it, and the fragrance of the valuable ointment permeated into the air, everybody noticed who was there. The broken body of Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life through his blood. The Gospels are wonderful, the life that Jesus led. Let's us know what God is all about. But the truth of it is, that documentation in the Gospels, it does nothing for eternal salvation. It was the broken body that went on the cross of Calvary that gives us eternal life. Broken. The split veil, broken veil that gives access to the holiest of holies. God doesn't use big people, he uses broken people. Have you ever been broken? Have you? Genesis chapter 32. Angel of the Lord wrestling with Jacob. And you know what? They wrestled all night. Can you wrestle with God and win? Yes, but you'll lose in the end. And finally, God's it's a pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ. And finally, he got tired the next morning. And before he wanted to leave, he turned around and he touched Jacob's thigh. And his hip went out of joint. He became a cripple. See, before he was self-sufficient, but now he's crippled. And he knows he can't go meet Esau on his own. And he's scared. And then he grabs Jesus Christ's leg. And Jesus says, let me go. He says, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. Jesus says, what is thy name? He says, my name is Jacob. And he might as well said, my name is, I'm a deceiver. I'm a liar. I am a supplanter. I am a transgressor. See, the last time someone asked him his name, it was his old blind father, Isaac. Twice he asked him. You know what Jacob said? He lied and said he was Esau. But you see, in that story, he's not lying to an old blind father. He's talking to the pre-incarnate manifestation of Jesus Christ, God himself, and he becomes honest. And God blesses him and gives him another name. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Contrite means to collapse. It'll be triumphant if you've got a pride problem. Realize you cannot live independent of God. You must live dependent upon him. Psalm 66 verse 2, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." Look means, to this man I'll pay attention. Even to him that is poor. Don't you realize how poor we are? Bill Gates is poor. I know somebody that witnessed to Bill Gates after he got hired. The second time he witnessed to him, Bill Gates said, "Stop right there, you're fired, go." Bill has already heard the answer. You always wonder about rich people. And Nora and I heard that story from one of my preacher friends who travels the world. I was like, wow. By his own mouth, he'll be condemned one day. He has nothing in his spiritual bank account. He has nothing up there in heaven. He's richest man. He has more money than a horse has hairs. He's the wealthiest man in this world. Power, clout, prestige, prominence, notoriety. But he is poor in here. And only is going to have this worldly wealth for a short time. Is God hearing your prayers? Maybe not. James 4, 6, 1 Peter 5, 5. "God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." When we resist God, you are resisted by God. When you repent. You know what? I like the definition of taking sides with God against yourself. Man, I know I'm no good. I don't want my life anymore. God, I want to be with you. You know what? Repentance. Doing a 180 from your own life. The control, that invisible steering wheel that controls our life. We have it. Giving it to him. Amen. When you repent before God, you are received by God. Amen. We talked a little bit earlier today about John. It's going to be different one of these days, everybody. John used to have his picture, the Apostle John, his head on the chest of Jesus. The other disciples used to talk to him and say, "You go talk to him, man. You're closer than any of us." But in Revelation chapter 1, when John saw Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos, he fell flat on his face and did not move as one that became dead. But you see, he was covered by the blood of Jesus, and Jesus Christ picked him up. What a blessing for that blood if you're saved, everybody. The wrath and condemnation cannot come down upon us, but it's going to be serious one day. More serious than ever. It's not going to be that meek, lowly Christ that has that walked the earth 2,000 years ago. It's going to be different. It's serious. And are we living for him? Are we moving the kingdom forward? He's the power. See, we have much dignity but little revival. We know how to rationalize wonderfully, but repent pitifully. How long has it been since you knelt and cried out to God, "My heart is cold, my vision of you is blurred by this world. I need revival." David got hungry, will you? David got honest, will you? David got humble, will you? One last story, Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was a Syrian, a great man, captain of the host, brought great victories to Syria, but Naaman was a leper. The story goes that he heard there's a God in Israel because of a little young Jewish maid, that there's a God in Israel that could heal him. And he goes to Israel, he goes to Elisha, the prophet, the true man of God's house, and because Elisha wanted him to come there. And Elisha sends Gehazi out and tells him to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, wash. And the story goes that Naaman went away in a fit of rage. Why? Because his servant came out and told him. Naaman thought for sure the prophet, the man of God, had come and tell him. And while he's talking to him, call down the power and the fire of God and he'd be healed. Didn't work out like that. Naaman went away in a fit of rage. Can I tell you something about God? He doesn't care about our plans. Don't run from God. Run to God. Amen. While he's in this rage going away, his servants say to him, "If he'd asked a hard thing from you, you'd have probably done that. He just asked you to go down and wash in the Jordan River 7 times." So he did. And the Bible says he dipped himself once, twice, 3 times, nothing. Four times, five times, six times, nothing. Six is the number of man. Seven is the number of perfection, Lord's number. And the Bible says when he went down the sixth time and came back up, why, his skin was likened to that of a little child. Oh, by the way, it wasn't the washing, the dipping in the Jordan River that healed Naaman. It was the simple faith in what the man of God told him to do. If you want revival, you must completely obey God, everybody. And the Bible doesn't say it, but I wonder, when he was there looking at himself, could you imagine, leprosy, horrible disease, that after he observed himself and felt himself, that he held his arms up and looked up to God and yelled, "It works! It works!" And all I had to do was go down in humility. Let me say, the God who did revive still revives, but not till we humble ourselves and go down before a great God. And I believe, even while I'm speaking and preaching and going around, I believe God's saying words like this: "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and desire me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me might and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not." Wow. How about it, people? This God is a worthy God of all that we have, no matter what we think we have, no matter how much we think we have. Give it to him. It's amazing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather. And thank you, Father, for the grace that, Father, you've given us, but, dear Lord, bestowed, Father, upon people like myself and my wife, even in visiting, Father, this church house here tonight with all these people. We are a blessed people, and it's because of you. Life isn't fair, but, God, you're always good, no matter what. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I ask everybody, is there anybody here tonight? And maybe God spoke to your heart, showed you something. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I'm not here to put anybody on the spot. I'm not here to make anybody doubt. But there's something about humility in the eyes of God. The altar, if you want to be close to God, that's it. It's an extension of the cross of Calvary. If God spoke to your heart here tonight, what a place to come and settle up with him. For he spoke to you. His desire is for you to obey, to trust him. Let me ask you, is there anybody here tonight that God spoke to your heart, showed you something with this thing about repentance, with this thing that of repentance that'll bring revival? Is there anybody that would be here tonight and say, "Preacher, here's my hand. God spoke to my heart here tonight. He showed me something. And I know it's real." Anybody else?